and tricks. Most importantly, let's get started into your journey and how you began your journey becoming an event designer.
Oh God, we have to go all the way back there. I mean,
Okay.
we're talking Methuselah time. Well, and honestly, before we even go, because I've been really annoyed with things lately, is I'm just going on record to officially say Happy Black History Month,
Thank
because I'm
you.
not seeing this anywhere and it's driving me up the wall. Anyway,
I appreciate
okay. Politics aside, now I got to get one little dig in. I actually fell into this industry. And we're going to see a little ageism here, but I'm going on a little over 30 years doing events. Of course, I started fresh out of grammar school, right? I mean, you can tell that.
that.
I was working for an online publishing company, and they bought the competition in Cleveland, and they removed everybody in California, and I had no idea what I was going to do. Typical 20-something whiny. I am not really knowing. I had made friends with a director of catering at a local hotel, and I called her to get some sympathy, which we all kind of do from time to time. And she told me that her catering manager just gave notice and I should just come in and talk to her. And my response was, "What do I know about food?" She's like, "I can teach you the food, but I can't teach somebody how to understand people. How to be able to read a room, how to navigate multiple different voices." And she goes, "You can do that." And she goes, "And you're creative." Next thing I knew, I was a catering manager at a hotel, which lasted only 6 weeks because me between. Or the other. So that led into moving to an event role with a travel company, which led to a corporate company, which led to, and so on and so on and so on, just planning events. And I found my niche. I mean, I'm a child of the theater. I spent my entire childhood, high school, college, that was going to be my life. I was going to be on stage. And, the biggest Achilles heel was I'm not that talented. So.
Stop it. No, but to your point of, being your background, being in theater or in your passion and being on stage, in so little words, you have kind of created your own stage and, transitioned into the stage of event planning and creating a stage for, the likes of celebrities like Ariana Grande, Nick Jonas, and also iconic landscapes. Like the world, Great World of China. So you're creating the stage, as you go. And kudos to you for that, that transition and being adaptable.
Yeah, it's kind of funny when I say this out loud to people, they actually understand it, but what I do is a form of corporate theater. And I had a conversation with Betty Buckley, my diva. I love this woman to death. And she looked me dead in the eye and she's like, "You're a producer and a director." She's like, "You're taking somebody's script. It could be social, it could be corporate, it could be whatever. You're taking their words and you are creating the environments and the experience where people will not just hear them, but they'll feel them, they'll taste them, they will absorb what the messaging is," which is just like a director of a Broadway show, right? It's set design, it's casting, it's you want that audience to hear the author's words. And much like that, and I love that because it isn't just planning, it is designing experiences. It's making those moments, right? Those moments to remember that people will always look back, they will smile, and they will remember who gave them that moment, be it a company, be it an individual host or hostess, but they look back fondly and they internalize it.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that in terms of casting and what you're doing now in your career move with event design. You're casting the food, you're casting the people, and you're creating those moments to remember. So I completely agree with you just in terms of with my background in the creative space and curating events and things. So I definitely understand. So if you could share your most memorable moment whether it was with a celebrity planning or your most memorable event and why?
I think my most memorable, sorry, one cup of coffee this morning, most memorable event has to be closing the Louvre down for dinner. That, and it wasn't even so much the evening itself, it was the journey to get it done. I'm a petulant little 5-year-old. I really do well when someone tells me no. And it just, and it honestly, it was the whole Parisian experience the first time, because we had a opening event at the Opera Garnier, which most people don't know. When Phantom of the Opera, the story was written, the author literally spent time in the building, and the physical parts of that building are true, right? There is water down below. The chandelier did fall on opening night. So I mean, you go into these buildings and they're just, you feel the soul, right? There's just something there. And the French are always famous for no, maybe, maybe, yes. And as long as you know that journey to being tenacious enough, but I just sit back and I just smile because I've been afforded an opportunity that so many haven't been, right? I've been afforded an opportunity to see the world, which started when I was a child. My mother's from Holland, my father's from San Francisco, so we used to go to Europe all the time growing up. And that served me well, but to then look back and say, okay, how many people actually get to go to the Louvre? And you would say there's a lot. But in the grand scheme of the human population, it's not a lot. So you start kind of narrowing that down, and who gets to do events in there? Who gets to do that? Who gets to be alone with Mona Lisa and a glass of champagne and
You.
sit with me? I mean, it's really kind of funny that for a while there, my husband said that he could never go back into the Louvre. I still can't, because for the past 10 years, and I've gone back and forth now with events there, is I've never been in there with people. I've always been in there when it's empty. And it's kind of one of those where I have this little habit now, and I like to sit on the steps right in front of Wing Victory with no one else around me. That sounds so bougie and so pretentious, but also so beyond grateful that you have to look back and say, how lucky, absolutely lucky, am I to be able to do that and to bring my team along the journey, right? To be able to bring people who may never have been out of the country and they're doing events and they're learning. And you're like, you know what? Hey, we're going over here and we're gonna go walk the Louvre, and they're thinking they're gonna walk with all the guests. I'm like, oh, no. We're
Like,
going in all by ourselves.
yeah, we're here to work. And
Right?
I think that's great that you mentioned that in regards to the who's afforded these opportunities, and it's more what we do with those opportunities and taking the reins of them in terms of travel and being in different spaces around different people. So definitely identify with that, and you're 100% dead on. What are some tips and tricks for planning? With Valentine's Day right around the corner, what are some tips and tricks you can share to have a memorable Valentine's Day 2025 edition?
I'm going to say, first off, I don't think I know anybody who is going to say that they are happy-go-lucky right this February.
Absolutely.
Regardless of where you might stand, there is anxiety all over the damn place. It's out of control. I mean, I know personally, I wake every morning terrified to go look at the news because I need to have my cup of coffee before I jump down that rabbit hole. And so for me, this Valentine's really needs to be about just intentional, really being authentic to yourself, but also to the individual. I don't care if it's your wife or your husband, your fiance, your partner, your best friend, right? Your roommate. Think about the authenticity behind who you are. This is a Valentine's where I really, really, truly believe, and you could do this with an event, you can do this singularly, but this year should really be all about letting the other person or the people know that you see them in creative ways. You know, find out what their favorite color is. You don't have to do roses, you don't have to do flowers. Please, God, avoid the prefix menu restaurants. That's just, hi, we're going to gouge every male on the planet who hasn't a thought in his own head. They did warn you about my filter problem, right?
No, you're fine.
I really, all those are handy. And it's almost like when I think about charity work, it's the write the check mentality. It's let's do something quick and get our conscience out of the door versus get your hands dirty. Actually show somebody that you see them and that you care about them. It could be, you know what? You're the person that you're speaking about or that you really want to shower some love on loves to read. They have a favorite author. Go buy two of those books. And
That's
you are committing that you two are going to sit down and you're going to commit time every day, quiet time, and you're both going to read the book. Right? It could be as it could be, I'm actually talking about the just brown paper packages kind of sound of music tied up with string, is getting a few silly items like a puzzle or paint by number sets or things like that, and you wrap them in brown paper and call just put blind date 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They had nobody knows what the heck it is. Let them grab one. And it just it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be over the top. Really, really hone in on who is it that you want to show them who you are, and you want them to understand that you see them, you love them, you respect them. I think if anybody does that simple little tip, trick, whatever from a thought process, no matter what you do, will be a hit.
I agree. I love those two ideas you mentioned in terms of a book from their favorite author or a puzzle. I think that's a great opportunity to create intimacy and then to create conversation. And I've never that's unique. You don't think of that, and people always think we have to do the most extravagant thing or spend the most money. And it's those simple things that really go a long way. So I love that you said that.
Well, and it's the thing for me is also I'm really exhausted. And I try not to get a little soapbox, and I try not to do my, and I'm going to show my age here, a Julia Sugarbaker moment. I will not be the Julianator. However, I'm really exhausted with how Valentine's is so pushed as gender specific.
And
How
commercial.
it's always, right? It's always about what the man can do for the woman. I'm sorry, what if you have nobody in your life? Why should you feel bad about it? If you have a roommate, if you have a best friend, they also push Galentine's. Where's Bro-entine's? Where's it's Valentine's
Agreed.
is so commercialized towards one-sided gender, and I don't want to get into that discussion, but one-sided gender that it really is supposed to be about love.
Yes.
Period. I
Yes.
don't give a crap who, what, where, why, how. If I just have a dog, guess what? I'm taking Cora out to dinner.
Yes. My dog's name is Coco. So yeah, well, I'm taking Coco
Right?
out to dinner, right?
It's like I'm not ashamed. I don't care. I love this dog more than life itself. Why wouldn't I do something?
And
It doesn't.
they're unconditional. So they'll love you regardless.
Well, I would say this diva kind of conditions on whether or not I give her a treat sometimes, but that's a whole, once again, a side story. I'm really tired of the commercialization. I cannot speak. I am so sorry. With the whole idea that your love is conditional on what I do for you or give you. And me giving myself if that's not good enough, then you're not the right person for me.
Absolutely. What was the most memorable gift you may have received, whether it was Valentine's Day or in particular?
Oh God, this is gonna go on air, so I can't say nothing for my husband. Well, and it's kind of funny that so the day before Valentine's, so February 13th is actually our wedding anniversary. So tomorrow's our 20th wedding anniversary. And
Congratulations.
thank you. And we're not doing any gifts. Sorry, there's nothing we need, nothing we so we're running away. We're gonna just go away. But it is funny how and how do I say this without sounding too much? I've been gifted some amazing things from clients, from people, just thank you gifts or whatever. The one that stands out the most, and it is absolutely silly, but I had the opportunity to spend some time with Carrie Fisher. And we ended up doing an interview together at an event and completely bonded. We had this great, I'm actually writing a book and it's dedicated to her because she really verbally assaulted me in there to make me basically told me to get off my ass and go tell the story. And no, not even fewer words. It was pretty blunt. But before she got in the car and she left that evening, she was wearing this silly little crafty necklace and this bracelet that she had told me she would take the necklace and she would twirl, and it was all colors. And whenever she got stressed, she would just twirl it and she would concentrate on it and refocus herself. And, you know, because kind of hard to believe that somebody of that caliber would get nervous, would have, you know, I mean, take all the growing up issues aside, but that, you know, you're raised in this, you should be a little calm, you would think. She went and took this off of her wrist. She put it on my wrist and she said, every time you get nervous about stepping in the public eye, hold on to this. And just remember what it's for, right? It's the colors, it's calming. It's also from somebody who will tell you to go and go just get off your ass and do it.
Right. That motivation. I love that.
Right? And so literally, every time I go on air, this is in my pocket.
And you have it with you.
And I have it with me every time. If there is an event that's really high profile, and I know that there's going to be people around that everybody gets intimidated, everybody gets starstruck, that I'm going to feel a little nervous or anxious about, I'm holding onto this in my pocket, and it's silly how it just grounds me. So, from everything over the decades that I've gotten, this silly little ball bracelet from Carrie Fisher is what does it.
Well, we want to thank Carrie Fisher for giving you some grounded, giving you a touch point to be grounded, and most importantly, the encouraging words. And obviously, it's been working. It's lasted, this long. So keep it close.
Yes, very much.
What can you share about, or how can we add some Hollywood elegance on a budget to any event?
Okay, so I love that question because I'm the first one to say Hollywood elegance doesn't exist. And I'm going to get in so much trouble when I say this out loud, but I'm going to say it. Every event in Hollywood looks the same. If I see one more gray marble, brass trimmed, mid-century modern bar, I'm going to take a sledgehammer and go kill it. I am a big believer that the host or hostess, much like a bottle of wine, is subjective, right? Everybody has a different taste. Your elegance comes from you. It is your voice. It is what you need to put forward because it is your event. I don't think looking at an image on page six of an event is the right way to plan your events. One, it's a moment in time done by somebody at that moment of time. It's a microsecond. It could never be recreated. So if you want that and you're looking at those imagery and just saying, I would love that, I would challenge you to say, what in this image is what's really getting you? Is it the colors? Is it the mooding with the lighting? Is it the table settings? Is it the flat? There's something specific because it generally isn't all of it, right? And then how do you take that one piece that really speaks to you and make it your version of elegance? And that to me is the missing piece. And once again, I'm sure I'm going to get emails after this one, but it's not. Hollywood elegance has always been about this old 1930s vibe, and it hasn't really matured, evolved, become modern. Everybody still thinks Hollywood elegance is that red carpet and the crystal chandeliers and all and the opulence.
Right.
Nobody in Hollywood live well, except for maybe Kim. Nobody in Hollywood lives like that, right? You want to make your version of elegance. You want a red carpet? Don't do a red carpet. Your favorite color is purple? Why wouldn't you do a purple carpet? Why wouldn't you do an orange carpet? Why wouldn't you, it's why do you need to serve cake? You like donuts? Do donuts, right? But find creative ways to serve them that people are going to remember it. Elegance, there is no book on elegance. There's books on etiquette. How to serve, right? Which I'm a firm believer that that needs to stay and that needs to kind of push forward. I mean, if I see somebody at a formal dinner party with their elbows on the table, I turn into my 5'3" Italian grandmother and want to smack him in the back of the head. But elegance is defined by the giver. It's not defined by outside voices. It's not defined by any of that. But really think what you like from that imagery. Right? Is it that flowy curtain? Is it that whatever it is? And then put your spin on it. That to me is how you bring that elegance to life, but still be true to yourself. Because you're never going to emulate that. Nobody has those kind of budgets. Well, Hollywood doesn't have those kind of budgets.
Right.
But it's to me, those events are no different. And I do some of them, so I have to smack myself too. For me, those events are like an airbrushed model on a magazine cover. They don't exist. So find your inner elegance and your inner voice and blast that.
Yeah, that's definitely ties back to your original statement of finding the intentionality and being authentic and being authentic. So what has the art of social responsibility and your philanthropic endeavors taught you about yourself or has inspired you?
I'm sure they told you that this is such a hot button for me when it comes to events. I think this goes back to just being exposed to the world early on in life. That, and like I said, I'm extremely fortunate. When I go to these locations around the world, I just don't stay in the hotel. I wander. I mean, I also this for getting lost in a hotel and ending up at the back of house because I like to see how things are operating, just because it lets me know what I might have to navigate. But I'm a big believer in leaving more than you take. So with my events, doing something within the community or the location that we're hosting events in is almost non-negotiable. And I mean, from social events to corporate events to whatever, there is always this element, it needs to be this element of giving more than you take and not just writing a check. This isn't about fundraising. This isn't, which is great, but there's organizations who do that and do that so much better. This is about getting attendees and guests a little dirty, getting their hands dirty in order to open their eyes so that maybe when they go home, they're going to see needs. They're not going to gloss over it. they're not going to walk by that homeless individual with the starving dog, right? They're not going to just complain. They're going to take a little action. It's for me, weaving in philanthropic into my events is my way of opening up attendees' eyes. That it's, take the Hawaiian Islands as an example. Beautiful locations, beautiful resorts. But if you leave the resorts and you actually wander around, you have individuals who are working two or three jobs. Their kids are in the boys and girls clubs, right? Because mom and dad aren't home till 6 or 7 o'clock at night. And it's this life that just doesn't match the perception of the location.
It's this facade, right? Until you pull the layers
Right?
away, right?
And and it's also teaching people once again how to be grateful. You're here. Bravo for you for being here and being part of that group who gets to experience that. But let's not forget that you're here on someone else's shoulders.
Right.
And that for me is really a non-negotiable. And I don't, locations determine what you do or how you do it or what you're able to do. And so do companies and so do individuals based off of their own personal beliefs, right? So, I mean, you have to navigate corporate cultures and individuals' personal beliefs and all that other stuff. But there is always something and there are always people in some sort of need that you can figure it out, right? I mean, there are some extremely high profile weddings out there. And the gifts are out of control. What do you need gifts for? Why wouldn't you partner with a local organization and you're telling your guest, we're partnering with them, this is all their needs. In lieu of a guest to us, we need the gifts to be to them. And it just, and guess what? You'll get a tax write-off. But I didn't say that out loud. It's thinking, it's getting people to think past themselves. And like I said, I am not a saint when it comes to it. I definitely have my favorites and I definitely have organizations coming at me wanting me to help in certain areas. And you do have to kind of pick and choose, but the idea of the whole thing is get off your butt and help pass that 3-hour program. Find a way to bring something in. Find a way to educate children. Bring technology into to the masses so that they understand it. Use whatever you're doing from the culture of the event to leave a mark and leave it as a better mark.
Well said, Edward Perotti. It was amazing talking to you today. I was inspired, and I know this conversation will definitely serve as a resource for our audience and whoever is listening, just to do a little bit more, regardless of the opportunity that they're in, the place they visit, and the people that they meet, their circumstance. I think it's an opportunity. This conversation is an opportunity to find the blessings and find the nuances in the little things. So, thank you for chatting with us today. Is there anything that we have not covered or that you would like to share? And one other thing quickly, what do you have coming up next? What can we expect from you?
Nothing I could talk about.
Well said.
God love NDAs. Well, and it's kind of funny that you say, because I'm very mindful and very careful when it comes to names, because we joke all the time that, people don't really know who you are. And I'm like, I prefer that. I want people to work with me who know the work. I don't want people to hire me because I did so and so's 50th, birthday party and it was in People magazine. I don't care about the coattails. I care about the work and I want to be able to pick and choose who I partner. But the other thing is, I work for them at that moment. It's not my place to say anything. If they want to, and the minute they do, oh, heck, I can blast it.
Right.
But I mean, even if you look at the what little I do on social media, I don't put faces. I don't put company names. I'll put stylized, table settings or the events or things because, and I think we kind of talked about it, but my entire goal when it comes to event design is to be able to inspire someone else to believe that they're creative and they can do this as well. And that's the ultimate goal, all right? I mean, how flattering for any creative individual to have somebody want to emulate your work. I could die a happy man just knowing that I inspired somebody to do this past the expected. So
For sure. Well, you've inspired me for sure, just to challenge myself, just to do a little bit more and
thank
uncover
you.
the creativity and uncover a voice, amplify a voice through any opportunity in any circumstance. So, and that also translate into art and into these creative spaces. So, well said. And it was a pleasure talking to you today. And we're out.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.